thank you very much for this really fascinating parallels you open to the railway network, these networks that exist in art, in visual art, in literature, and in books, actually. I actually would like to start with you, Sami and Omar and Kinan, about what we start speaking of the question that you also probably leave open in your performance regarding the chance in opposition to a well-planned project like the network, a chance that brought books to be there. In a way, it also opens a different possibility of looking at a network of writing. How do you relate to that? Why this was an important, let's say, juxtaposition between the chance and the well-planned, and what can this open up for us as people who move, but also sometimes there are so many chances around us that also can formulate our movement, our thinking, maybe also our practices.
The chance that you mean, in which sense? This
the chance of the books being there, mm-hmm. because it's not really clear. Are these printers really arrived with the train? Mm-hmm. Are the books, let's say, the grandchildren of these printers that mm-hmm. they arrived with the German makers? And because there's a gap as well. Mm-hmm. There's a gap between the working the station and when actually these this market appeared. Mm-hmm.
I think it's like, if you want to talk about a chance, it's like, maybe you could consider that a chance that maybe because of our different experiences with books and with the station as a building, as a construct there, that makes, like, it, when you knew about this book shop or this book exhibition inside, and through our interest with book, actually we connect this together. But actually, if we want to put it like in a general context, because we are researching this kind of movement of appearance and disappearance of books, of libraries, and especially the publishing archive. And if we want to put it in the context of the train, we also considered that building or the train that passed there, it was also in this kind of statue of appearance and disappearance as a station, because it has this two function, it works and it doesn't work. It has this image and this name of a station that exists, of maybe a public memory of certain people that are there, but in the same time, it disappeared through the time and through the non-functionality of this station. But in the same time, when we talk to the publishers and the sidewalks booksellers, they don't want to have any relation to the station. But in the same time, we consider this kind of movement that happened to the books in this area and to the appearance and disappearance of this book, for instance, the sidewalk booksellers from this area, it's open up somehow a chance of a relation with the train, if that's what you mean.
Yeah, and also in a sense, so I'm going back while thinking about the issue of the linear and the non-linear, because mm-hmm. really the railway is a linear, and maybe sometimes the structure of language forces this linearity as opposed to the visuals, where you can put two images together and put a narrative, as you did between Iraq and Germany, which is harder for maybe literature. But in that way, is the chance, as opposed to the network or the linearity, opening a new narrative for us for understanding maybe literary practices or visual practices in that sense? And I'm also maybe relating this question where the network also goes beyond the planned network. We're talking about the Eastern Mediterranean, and suddenly we have the Southern Mediterranean also part of this network. And I feel that this chance is somehow opens a parallel narrative to the narrative which is structured normally. And I don't know what you also would say about that in terms of visual practices, because I think it's more difficult with the literature. If you also can comment, Murad, on this. Is it by chance that suddenly we have Moroccans thinking this way or connecting beyond the network that exists in reality? Mm.
Well, you know, I think there's certainly something to do with the famous idea of microhistory and a history in motion. So everything that's useful in order to debunk a linear history or a history that runs after a point of origin or a point of arrival should be productive. And it happens that through the railways or through this trade system of Moroccan, Lebanese, Egyptian, Palestinian craftsmen, something probably much more important than the craft itself happened. So I was trying to understand how can we talk and how can we shape with words and image that something that goes beyond the product that's been produced or sold or transferred or transported between all these cities, for example, with the Tarazi family or the relationship between modernist architecture and archaeology in Iraq. And you basically need some imagination. You couldn't do it in a positivist or basically historiographic fashion. So,
yeah, I mean, also this idea of the imagination, which is very strong, it also plays and connects, you know, along the network, the imagination, and probably we can see it with the play of Fayrouz, Al-Mahatta, which is, or the station, which is a pure act of imagination, but becomes like a parallel reality and maybe a reality, but it's the reality within this imagined as well text. So can we, in that sense, relate to imagination as a microhistory? Can we deal with that as a even a trace for history, where we can construct a history? Mm-hmm. Because there is, in reality, there is no real relation between the printing and the presence of these books and the circulation, and the network, or in the case of the visual practices in these regions, they don't really relate to a real network. So are they leaving us? Are they taking us somewhere else that maybe is not real and doesn't rely on the real, and how they also relate to the real in that sense as well?
Actually, I think it's part of reality in a sense, but maybe, as you say, the parallel or a sub-reality or an unconscious reality in ways that the system of goods exists, the system of transportation exists. Obviously, the fact that a railway system is known as incomplete opens a door for imagining what it could have been if it was completed, for example. But still, the goods exist, the transportation exists. It's the interrelations and the sort of new parallels that the good generates that maybe is not known to a positivist approach, because in microhistory it could be a piece of something you eat, a piece of cheese or a bottle of water or anything that's not important itself as an object, but important as a generator of actions, of relations, as a sort of non-human agency. So for example, I'm taking the idea of ornament in Arab artist abstract paintings, and I'm trying to deal with the ornament not in an ornamental way, not in a compositional way, but I'm trying to use the ornament in order to retrace relationships, dialogues, interrupted trajectories, maybe, because the ornament itself is a way, is a mode of mobility. The ornament itself is about circulation, is about, so choose objects or find non-human agencies that will provide with a certain potential for mobility, for connectivity, etc.
Yeah, and Mohamed, in that sense, because you try to connect these parallels in somehow to our present, to the new networks that are being created, but maybe in a way they're also a function of the imagination, that maybe we can connect them not really only to the railway, but maybe the railway is a function of a certain mode of thinking that is now disappearing, that we can see now we are living the effects of these connections, that we already explored the linear aspect, but we are living beyond that now that they had their own lives, and we can see that the railway is not working anymore, but there's other workings of the railway.
Yes, other networks which are working and other modes of thinking are working. For example, you talked about the language as a sort of, you know, as the railway. Yeah. For example, if you take Turkic languages, and Germans will understand them really well because it's subject, object, verb. It's a sort of given, you know. You have to put verb at the very end. And until you set the verb, you don't understand, is it question, is it future tense, is it... So there is the totality of the sentence, yeah, which is restricting thing in a way. But at the same time, what the history of Turkic, let's say, poetry, yeah, shows, or Uzbek poetry shows, it starts to develop when it meets with otherness. For example, the Navai poetry, which I quoted, for example, was the result of meeting the Persian poetry, yeah? Result of Turkic versus Arabic and Persian poetry. There was a development during the beginning of the 20th century, poets like Cholpan, like Fitrat, the meeting with the completely different with the Russian tradition, and so on and so forth. Nowadays, for example, there are people who are sort of experimenting because they are meeting on these virtual networks with the world poetry, let's say. So there is always this development when there is a clash.
And now we are maybe talking about with the disappearance of these networks on the ground and the replacement of maybe networks that they go beyond the place, and maybe even sometimes relation between books as ideas. So are we also in a different maybe literary form?
I think so, because I mean now we haven't got an attention span more than a tweet, for example, you know. So novel now, I mean, to read a novel like Strangers of My Mind, you have to be devoted to it, you know, to read a normal reader is not reading anymore the big books or the Joyce, Finnegan's Wake or whatever. It's just crazy people who are reading it.
Though we would find also like very crazy writers who continue to write 1,500 pages now.
Yes. I think something is happening with the sort of, you know, with our mode of thinking, with our way of thinking. It's shrinking. It's becoming sort of, you know, more Twittery, more Facebooky in a way.
But if we talk about it also in terms of multiple places existing at the same time, because also maybe we see that the project of the railway network was to consolidate a narrative, the narrative of an empire, and especially the Hejaz railway, which passes through these lines. And maybe also I'm thinking of the novel as such, that also was parallel to the network. So if it's not in terms of the length, but in terms of the structure itself, could it, for instance, there was a moment that we can, because you started your talk with a writer that you never went back to him and you went to the visual, but where is that, is there a moment that maybe the literary and the visual, they can cross with each other, that we will have a new novel and even a new type of imagination that is an outcome of real networks? What would happen, for instance, now, if we look also in the, on the what they call the MENA, or which, a term that I find problematic, but we can replace it with the southern and eastern Mediterranean. What are these links now? How they exist?
We can even replace Middle East with West Asia. This is also an option.
I think it's already happened. We haven't noticed, but it's already happened. I mean, writers are not the sort of, you know, now the, you know, the upholders of the wisdom or whatever, you know, they are not prophets of the world, you know. Now the television personalities are the upholders of the world, you know. Writers are obscure people now, generally. It's not my complaint or whatever. What I'm saying is a reality. For example, take the list of 100 most influential people, yeah? Whoever is there, not a single writer, for example. Yeah, so writers lost their plot already, you know, sort of, you know, the novelist as a thinker, as a person who moves the, you know, the thinking of the world. It's already lost.
We can argue on this at length, maybe. What do you think about this? Because it's also your practice is based on something that Hamid is disappearing, claiming is disappearing, and maybe you're also investigating this disappearance. So what would, is there true disappearance of the novel and the appearance of the visual or the no attention to the language?
Actually, we consider disappearance and reappearance in completely different contexts. Not just like it's not the disappearance of the disappearance of writing or reading, but in the sense of that the publication itself, it had this capacity of through, of course, a human crisis, and of course through different circumstances that the archive of publication is actually appears and disappear from a certain area. To reappear as a reality in different area. For instance, if you took it on the ground in the Lebanese Civil War and then in the Iraqi invasion, like the American invasion in Iraq, 2003 and Syria, you can, if you look to the very closely to the sidewalk booksellers and the archive, it's moving actually. It was moving since the 70s in these areas. If you considered it also as a train of movement, as a movement, and then like strangely enough, some books landed in a station like the Hijaz train station, which is like two worlds that really doesn't really fit together. The reason why the station built and why the books later on came to this place. So actually, kind of, if I want to claim that these books also they are appropriate the space of the station to create another reality. To, and even for instance, the whole publishers and booksellers around the area. I mean, maybe this area was developed because of the train, but in the end, the train was started to be an illusion and something that unfunctional. But the area started to became this place for readers, for books, and maybe in the end, to say the books actually appropriate or they invade the station itself.
Yeah. And they have their own life and their own connections life,
exactly.
As well,
and networks. To go, for instance, like when I go to Damascus 2017, they disappeared, they weren't there. And no one knows where are they. Maybe it was like kind of something that you feel like, is it a reality? Why? Because I go there and I don't see any books. But Kenan was there before and he saw the book. So it's like, it's kind of something that for us also has something mysterious that this movement that books also bring with. Yeah.
Shall we open to the public? Anybody has a question or?
And even the train, like for many, if you don't look to the history of the train, for many people, for us also, it feels like a mysterious story because you know, you see the station, but you never know that if their train passed by. So it's like always it's an imagination that we relate to.
It was connected also, like this idea is the film from Rania from yesterday, like a lot of people that talk about the train, but nobody was connected with the train. And it's the same for us with the Hijaz station.
Any question in the public? I mean, I would like also maybe to refer to what Yazid presented in his talk from the memoir of Khalil Sekekini, about this trip that also now we only learn through about through books and this kind of stopping of movement. And I mean, we live in a reality now of disintegrated landscapes, these networks we're talking about, the trip that you describe your great-grandfather took, they are impossible at the moment. There's not even the, and you're talking about that the station that doesn't work anymore. This is not a technical dysfunctioning, but it's probably also a reasoning. We have a train in Damascus, where would it go? How far? It's also with a travel. The novel you wrote or have been inspired by the railway or the connections you think of, as if we are living now and reflecting on them from previous practices. What does this disintegration now, is it going to be replaced by the networks that Hamid is mentioning? If you can comment on that. Also, how will it affect our imagination, our literary practices, our visual practices as well? If you can comment on that,
well, Murad. What it inspires to me is that probably it disintegrates into algorithm, but at the same time, probably if you think in reverse, you have some scholars like Laura Marx, for example, who demonstrated that algorithm existed in Iraqi science of geometry, numbers, etc. So probably the algorithm is just a repetition of other modes of thinking that maybe didn't have the sort of economic growth behind it as we have today. But I think science basically recycles into something else, or as mutations of, again, as for my case, for example, geometry with ornamental compositions actually allow you for thinking what was to become today the algorithm, for example, I think. So to me, it's about trying to, I mean, it's each invention that comes new will probably erase the apparel or the device that existed before it. And at the same time, the thing that has become obsolete will find a new function because of its obsolescence or because of its outdated or outfashioned condition. It will find another function. It will find another raison d'être, and obviously become
an
anachronistic.
Eventually, yeah. And materialization. What do you think in terms of the book itself, and also in relation to the stopping of circulation of ideas that we're talking about? Books, we see that you get the book from Cairo, of building the underground in Cairo, and the book about, George Zidane, and the book of the railway in Bilad al-Sham. Now in the present, even such circulation of books is very difficult in the Arab world. If you can comment on that, and how is this materializing also in terms of the imagination, and in terms of exchange of ideas and creation of a discourse that feed into a new mode of being, let's say, in parallel to the idea of the pan-Arab or the pan-Islamic that was coming to the Ottoman Empire, and then later came in the 50s and of the pan-Arab connected world, or in the Soviet Union of a whole connected world. Now we are being cut, ideas are interrupted, books are not circulating, and maybe in the reality the Arab region, it's more severe. It's not a disintegration of states, but there is a violent act of this disintegration. And probably when you talk about the books that they are not there, the book fair disappeared, but we can also understand maybe this is an effect of the Syrian revolution.
Mm. Yeah, it's actually, it's like, well, it's like the sudden and a chance. It's like, is it a mix between two things? Like something that happens suddenly, like it's how you reach material in the same time that this material doesn't give you the whole power to control it completely. For instance, those books that we found on the way to the station or around the station, there are things, there are materials that, of course, you could say they would disappear once, or they disappeared, or it's difficult to get. But in the same time, I mean, the thing that we are seeing that there is a possibility that exists, or there is somehow a chance that the publication itself has that makes it kind of circulating around in these different areas if that with a suitcase or with a train or with a bus, but you can always find the chance to get these materials that maybe because the function of these materials become different for us, for instance, because this the function of these materials become if you are talking about the imagination and about how opening ideas that come through, because this material maybe it has a kind of ability of giving us kind of a continuity of the history. So it's misunderstanding the history. It could be also making the history foggy. So it's a way that you can use it in different way. For instance, for us in Fejras, we are using this material as a way to talk about today. So the function of this material, we use it in a different way, so we understand it in a different way.
Yeah. And would you like to say something?
Yeah,
about
I mean, it's a sort of, you know, it's a fundamental human need, isn't it? Not just to live here and now, but in a big time as well. So in that sense, the future of the books or future is of writership is guaranteed, you know, because people will be trying to sort of quest for the future and so on and so forth. On the first ground of this floor, house, there is now the exhibition about Russian cosmism, you know. You try to extend your inner world way beyond of yourself, you know. It's a natural human condition, isn't it? So the railway is, in a way, externalizing our inner thoughts, inner feelings, and so on and so forth, into the outer world, in a way. So in that sense, so the future is quite wildly probable.
Okay, thank you. So we finish with this note, and we hope to see you in 20 minutes here. Okay, thank you. Hamid, thank you Murad, thank you Sami and Omar and Kinan, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.